Blog Talk Radio.
Exciting for gentlemen of our station if they were to break out in lots. So we can sit back here and enjoy a bit of time together. This is a place where you no longer need to be reserved about your sense of contemplation, your sense of balance, your need to reason through, to understand. There's no apology necessary. Here, priority is what it is. It's not necessarily the business. It's not necessarily the ritual. Nor is it the history. It's your bearing on the craft and its bearing on you in these honest moments that we have together. It's astounding realization. After all these years, what if possible action then could do something, a group of men could do something without persuasion, but it's really something internal. It's like what drives the great artists and poets and writers and to be excellent, to go that one step beyond the rest of us. It's not always easy to put our finger on it, but we know it has something to do with determination. The determined around the world that are tuning in to Masonic Effects are validation for us here at the show. This is our last program before Christmas, and that's where the holiday that we celebrate here in this house, and hope that it the joy and best wishes about it extend to each and every one of you. It's a complicated little world that we live in sometimes, and more than ever, the sense of alienation may be greater for some than others, but it's undeniably in effect. We have access to so much information. We've been commodified by the self-help industry, somebody else telling us how to think and do and how to solve our problems. But they never seem to last very long. They're popular, but like a hollow promise. It they never quite work. And they're always eclipsed by something else. And it leaves us with these, I don't know, these odd thoughts, these odd notions that come to us from the past. The need to be intelligent, to have some intelligence, that education isn't about employment. It's not training. Education is something different. Training is what that is, whether we're training in a professional school or as a technician of some dimension. Education is what gives us options, gives us a different way of thinking. It teaches us to think and teaches us to reason if we're attentive. Oh, get down off your chair. You are reasonable to say that's not the case for you or yours. But it doesn't erase these elements of cynicism, nor does it change the mindset, does it? Mindset, the power of the mindset is without doubt one of the most distinguishing features of a life lived. So at the year's end, like this, we start to align ourselves up with those kinds of reflections. We can talk openly about the quality of the year and our achievements, not the superficial stuff. You're feeling more at ease with yourself. And have you done anything to achieve that? Or are you still dramatic and caught up in criticizing yourself for some imagined or constructed reason? No need. Today we have an interesting commentary, folks. The further we can go. This is tapping into your funny bone a little bit today. There is something that we are capable of doing. We're like that bundle of sticks. We're very, very, you could put a stick alone and it can easily be snapped, but bundle them together and they become very, very difficult and even impossible to break. We may be that bundle of sticks. Some beautiful and inspired music today to go along with this. And the poetry of one of the youngest of the Bronte sisters, Anne. And I think it's beautiful. If you've not explored this type of work, well, you'll have the opportunity. You've saved one of those gems for today. This is a bit of music to start us off here. At this time of year, what could be more fitting than Bill Evans, like Someone in Love? like someone in love. Thank you, Mr. Evans. Thank you very, very much. Men that never, that of course you can imagine, received quite a bit of praise for his talent, but always claimed that it was the product of years and years of hard, hard work. I kind of like that. Makes sense to me. We jump in with both feet today with a commentary, The Further We Can Go. I'd like your thoughts on that. Oh, particularly to help reach out to those areas and those Masons who are dealing with challenges, both structurally, organizationally, more the struggle with the opinion that has been infused with egos, those delicate, most delicate part of us. And a reach that extends from people that are in a different place right now. Maybe it'll be their turn tomorrow, but right now, those of us who are feeling quite centered, who have who are reflective and who are appreciative, just so you are, apart from the struggles, our purpose is greater than us. We're going to talk to you about the commentary. Here, do you mind if I share something from the Statutes of 1599 with you? This is something that's been annoying me for a little while. Troublesome it is. It's the conversation that's often takes place about the effort, the work of to be a Mason, and ways to what I refer to as adulterating that. Not that everything that was written in the past is the way it must be, but here's a little bit of a hint about memory work. I want to talk to you about that because I've received some information on some interesting books from Lewis Masonic. If you're not familiar with it, it's a pretty decent site for material, I find. You might like it. This is a little note regarding the Martin Falk's book, A Masonic Palace, Freemasonry and the Art of Memory. Well, here on Masonic Effects, we've talked about the Mind Palace before, so this fits nicely. It's a note from the SCA Statutes, 1599. The warden of the lodge shall take trial of the art of memory and science thereof of every fellowcraft and every apprentice according to their vocation. And in case that they have lost any point thereof, pay the penalty as follows for their slothfulness. William Ska was royally appointed master of the works, and the statutes gave a code of rules governing the activities of operative Masons in Scotland. It's often considered the first conception of Freemasonry as it exists today. So why did Ska make it mandatory for Masons to practice the art of memory? And why did they need to be tested in this art? Was it a reference to Masonic ritual? And if so, does it mean that Masonic Lodge is a form of memory palace? Well, you've got the attention of this audience. If this is indeed the case, then by exploring what school of mnemonics is involved from it can tell us something of the intentions behind the ritual. Was Masonry developed as a form of moral training for good Christian builders, or could its rituals have evolved from a more ambitious or mystical purpose? That's a modest price for this book, A Mosaic Palace, Freemasonry and the Art of Memory. There's another little note here, it refers to a book called The 5-Minute Ritualist. And that's being put out by Lewis Masonic. So you might want to check that one out. I know less about that. Just talks about some of the different, helping us to understand how to go about memorizing the sonic ritual and using short, regular, highly focused learning sessions. Oh, an English plug. And do I get any back? I get the usual Masonic fee for that. You know. Goodwill. The further we can go. Masonry thrives on the notion that we each begin modest and humble. Easier for us to speak about it than to walk the walk. John Kabat-Zinn captured it for us. What is more, any superficial or romantic notions we might harbor of becoming better, a better person, more calm and more clear or more compassionate, don't endure for long when we face the turbulence of our lives. Perhaps it is a romantic notion. In the Masonic zeitgeist, the contemplative mind poses endless questions of us. Masonry expands on this and invites us into the process of exploring truths and facts and fantasy. To absorb core beliefs, we are asked us to step beyond accumulated knowledge. We like to use the metaphor of light into darkness, understanding replacing ignorance. Core beliefs have much to do with how we believe ourselves to be. I find some solace provided by Aristotle. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is an act, is not an act, but a habit. I'm not sure what excellence is, but it sounds good. And I know what a habit is. I think an excellent person would be insufferable unless excellence included keeping ego at bay. What would motivate us? Imagine how far we could go, the heights we could reach if ego was not let into any lodge. No competitiveness. Harmony. This asks a great deal of us. How do we keep these noble goals in focus during the turbulent day? Only when we understand the power of the symbols we wear or pocket do they speak gently and to us and refocus. None of this is enforceable. So we need to think about those nearby who haven't had the mentoring he deserved or has been faithful but lowered expectations. How then do we bring the lodge together? Knowledge, understanding, and imagination, and awareness of the struggle, and an acceptance that some are born with a different status, a different mindset, a unique perspective, and that we never really know what tomorrow will bring. Some have experimented with shortcuts, but they transparently lack authenticity and sincerity. So imagine your effect. Just imagine for a moment.
for the present of mind. Cara sao, avrei con la tristezza di vento, tu mi sei per te. E sto in curo a cammino e seguire, dare sempre un dia felice.
Jazz from Spain, don't you notice? Just something kind of cool. Got a piece of seasonal kind of poetry today. I don't mean to be cheesy. I'm not picking out artwork to go with the drapes or the wallpaper. No. This is maybe a bit of sentimentalism. This is a poem by the youngest of the Abrante sisters, and these were they were a literary family. We know this, but this the family was born of a poor Irish clergyman, by the way, in the Church of England. And she lived most of her life in Haworth on the Yorkshire Moors, and she attended, like all children of her status, a boarding school in Muirfield. But at 19, she left town and worked as a governess between 1839 and 1845. And after leaving her teaching position, she filled her literary ambitions and she published a volume of poetry with her sisters and two novels. talent. Well, judge for yourself. There was conflict, as you can imagine. Charlotte Bronte stopped the republication of The Tenant of Wendell Hall after Anne's death. But she may be the one not so well known, but judge for yourself what you think of this piece. I thought it had something to say about the world that we live in. Music I love, but never strain, could kindle rapture so divine, so grief assuage, so conquer pain, and rouse this pensive heart of mine, as that we hear on Christmas morn upon the wintry breezes borne. Through darkness still her empire deep, and hours must pass ere morning break from troubled dreams and slumbers deep. That music kindly bids us wake. It calls us with an angel's voice to wake and worship and rejoice, to greet with joy the glorious morn which angels welcomed long ago, when our redeeming Lord was born to bring the light of heaven below, the powers of darkness to dispel and rescue earth from heaven and hell. While listening to that sacred strain, my raptured spirit soars on high, and rescue earth from death and hell, I seem to hear those songs again, resounding through the open sky, that kindled such divine delight in those who watch their flocks by night. With them I celebrate his birth. Glory to God in highest heaven, goodwill to men and peace on earth. To us a Savior King is given. Our God has come to claim his own, and Satan's power is overthrown. A sinless God for sinful men descends to suffer and to bleed. Hell must renounce its empire then. The price is paid, the world is freed. And Satan's self must now confess that Christ has earned a right to bless. Now holy peace may smile from heaven, and heavenly truth from earth shall spring. The captive's galling bonds are riven, and our Redeemer is our King. And he that gave his blood for men will lead us home to God again. I know listeners who are of different faiths will be able to connect with the themes and messages in this young woman's poetry. She speaks a universal language, whether she be Hindi or Muslim or Jew, Christian. She has a voice that speaks about our very, very existence. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And it lets me begin to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas. I'd like to share with you a bit of music now. This is from Durham Cathedral. And the performer is a pop star. It's a Winter's Night performance concert by none other than that Australian teacher come rock star, Sting.
Soggy, please give me a little soggy. One pop, beat it, two pop, all. house and the mistress also on our little children that round their table grow, the cattle in the stable, the dogs at your front door, and all that dwell within your gates will see it 10 times more. Soggy, the soggy, he's good for the soggy, an apple or pear or plum or a cherry.
We have a bit of work to do today on symbolism. It's easy to stop and pause and reflect on the blessings that are given to us, and a moment to pause and reflect on those who are less fortunate than us. Really, does it change the nature of their lives? Not appreciably in the moment, but it matters a great deal in the fabric of mankind that we realize the struggle, the common struggle, that's always eclipsed by a purpose. Always eclipsed. Not always easy to come by, but when we surround ourselves with a history and a purpose that is unenforceable, this is more like drawing on our goal to become a more honorable person, a man of character, the bigger man, able to turn the other cheek, able to be generous to a fault when the marketplace is screaming in anger and indignation. Nothing about masonry is easy. Nothing. As it should be. It's just as it should be. It's only when we're pressed, when we exhibit the effects, when we're challenged, in our own emotion and our reaction to use those base emotions to be overcome and start to make emotional decisions, which usually are, they're based on irritation and anger. They're very short-lived unless there's something truly troubling us. And that's deeper than a moment in time. We reason through. You look around, and although there are many reasons, and if you can't find them, there's always a chorus of people who will, to give up, to feel the futility and angst and see the world as an ugly place. Until you take a deep breath and sense that determination deep inside of you, that says that a part of all of that is still this glimmer, however remote it might be in other people's minds, that there is beauty around us, that there is fraternity among and between men, and that it is possible, that it is possible to become something other than what you are when you started. It is possible to apply yourself with diligence and reason, not to throw yourself slavishly into the task. That kind of zealot usually frightens the hell out of people like me. No. This is where we, even if we aren't of the opinion, we can fake the fact that we have sensibility and we're intelligent. Just fake it. Just fake it. Keep acting. Ask yourself, what would the intelligent, enduring, courageous version of me do in this situation? And if you can't understand that, then ask yourself, by reflecting on the person that you most admire, the person that most incorporates all that is the Masonic values, or even somebody beyond that, if you're of that nature, ask yourself, what would that person do in these circumstances? And then do it until you can come up with your own direction. That's an element of maturity, isn't it? When we stop doing things because other people have suggested or implanted these ideas and begin to make decisions based on our own set of values. So, and then we're faced with whether everything around us is derivative, like you and I. But that joy is something that we can share. Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Cry, and you cry alone. Yeah. Today, the year, we only have, 8 more days left in the year until the start of another one. And here, you can feel it. Did you feel the earth sort of tilting and the sun getting a little stronger in the sky this morning compared to yesterday? Yeah. For me, this in the Northern Hemisphere, this echoes the start of the sailing season. Months away, but it's coming. The renewal, the warmth, we'll set the crops up for another season. And a prayer, if that's all that anyone can do to wish the growers and farmers a good harvest. Things have changed. We do need to think about our environment. No, we didn't before because it wasn't an issue before, because we didn't care. We had perhaps didn't know how to measure it or were indifferent to it, except for some enlightened minds. Could we ever pollute the oceans? Well, yeah, we got around to that too, and the sky. And we know, if you tend toward nihilism, that you know, we're 100 billion years from our sun. It's losing its energy. The symbols rivet us. step back from the turmoil of every day, step back from the turmoil of our capacity for thinking about the bleakness of life, and balance it off. Where did you come up with the notion that the valence of your existence is bleak? How about a note by a little refresher from Dr. Oliver? Yes, he is a Masonic scholar, well, I'll refer to. And he, in his reference to symbols, it was a bit gratifying and enlightening. And he was talking about things commonly found in lodges. Now, where I am, we still haven't gotten around to that. Ours are more like a very austere. I don't quite know why. Well, I do know why, but it's not necessarily important for this program this morning. The coffin, skull, and crossbones are emblems of mortality and cry out with a voice almost more than mortal, prepare to meet thy creator. The hourglass is an emblem of human life. We cannot, without astonishment, behold the little particles which are contained in this machine pass away almost imperceptibly, and yet, to our surprise, in the short space of an hour, all are exhausted. Thus wastes human life. At the end of man's short hour, death strikes the blow and hurries him off the stage to his long and darksome resting place. The scythe is an emblem of time which cuts the brittle thread of life and launches us into eternity. What havoc does the scythe of time make among the human race? Well, if by chance we escape the numerous evils, incidents to childhood and youth, and arrive in perfect health and strength at the years of vigorous manhood, yet decrepit old age will soon follow, and we must be cut down by the all-devouring scythe of time and be gathered into the land where our fathers are gone before us. The beehive. You've often wondered about that, haven't you? The beehive is an emblem of industry and recommends the practice of that virtue to all created beings, from the highest seraph in heaven to the lowest reptile in the dust. It teaches us that as we came into the world rational and intelligent beings, so we should ever be industrious ones, never sitting down contented while our fellow creatures around us are in want, when it is in our power to relieve them without inconvenience to ourselves. Sort of like strumming a guitar or strumming an instrument, drawing a bow for the first time and hearing that screech, that discord, and throwing our hands in the air and saying, all is bad, it's just not worth it. Well, we're not the student. We're not the musician. Put our hands in the air, ball them up into tight little fists and be angry. And when that's done, what do you do when you pick up the instrument? What happens if you connect the instrument in your hands with that perfect sound that you've heard? Maybe you do have the music in you. It's possible. Here's a beautiful tune. This is something that is a tradition around here by Norwegian students. People like it. Norwegian student choir. It's pretty good. Sometimes it just works out that way. We come together in different ways, in different forms, but we come together. So my wish for you for the upcoming year is to always temper your impatience with understanding and to judge with kindness. Remember the roots, to do the exercises of the beginner. Everybody that's a virtuoso still must practice, still must have that clarity. As Debussy would say, the music is the space between the notes. It's the space between the notes with you and I, particularly as we become older. In the jurisdiction that I'm in, we're still emerging, still. Well, we don't have the 1,000 years or 2,000 years of history to fall back on for reference points. We're still emerging, still. Still dilettante, still making, stumbling and making mistakes. But I can promise you this, that 1,000 years from now, where I am, will be as great as where you are. Every bit. And even more so, because of the path created by your cultures, by your lands around the world, by your ancestors, we will learn a great deal. And we will take all of that learning into account. Just as humans have always done, it's particularly around a Masonic lodge where we have that incredible exchange of ideas. Ah, that's the risk, isn't it? That's the risk. Our brethren in Indonesia going through some incredible challenges. Our thoughts go out to you today and to all of you who are facing struggles. We're proud to call you our brethren. Austria, hi. Merry Christmas. In Belgium, Merry Christmas. In the Netherlands, the same. A joyous holiday. And in France, you've given so much. In the United Kingdom and Scotland, the land of my ancestors, maybe Denmark, the land of their ancestors, never forgotten. To the vestiges of the old colonies, the Cameroon and Uganda, wishing you a balanced and reasoned new year. Much prosperity and good health to our brethren in Brazil. No, India and China, daunting. Russia, such a beautiful culture. We're still waiting to be invited. In South Korea, the Philippines, you're there for us. It's always true that masonry is follows the sun around the face of the earth, isn't it? Many languages and many variations. It is that commitment, that bond. Maybe I am just a little bit too sentimental at this time of year, but I look very much forward to joining you in Lodge and to listening to your thoughts. Listening to your thoughts. We come back next week. We're going to be on Christmas. We're going to be on New Year's Eve, aren't we? Oh, won't that be? Smile when you can. Commit those random acts of kindness. If you walk around smiling with that sincere joy, not that scary plastic smile like you're drugged into a stupor, but that sincere joy that allows you to make eye contact, meaningful eye contact, not creeping the hell out of the world. People will always wonder what you're up to. Always. Why in the world is that fellow so darn happy? You know? There's always reasons. Here's a little bit of a little bit from France for all of us. I look forward to you being with us next week. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Petit Papa Noël, quand tu descendras du ciel avec tes jouets par milliers, n'oublie pas mon petit soulier, mais avant de partir, il faudra bien te courir dehors. Sakai, sakai, sakai. Et c'est pas à cause de moi. Il me tarde tant que le jour se lève pour voir si tu m'as apporté tous les beaux joujoux que te vois en rêve et que je t'ai commandé. Petit Papa Noël, quand tu descendras du ciel avec tes jouets par milliers, n'oublie pas mon petit sourire. Yeah.